You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
The Islamic Women's Council has been a solid and consistent voice not only in the aftermath of the terror attacks last year, but for years before, attempting to draw attention to the threats the Muslim community faced. Their voice was heard immediately after the attacks, pointing to the amount of times they had tried to communicate information about these threats to officials, but to no avail. The Royal Commission of Inquiry into the attack on two mosques is underway, and the Council has submitted their 127-page submission, not to mention all of the other supporting documents. They have also released this publicly, which doesn't normally happen. The submission includes details around meetings between Muslim groups and government agencies where no minutes were taken and recommendations were ignored. It also addresses an online threat made against a Hamilton mosque on March 15th, the same day the terror attacks happened, that was never followed up by police. I spoke to co-founder of the council, Anjum Rahman, to find out more, and I started by asking how she is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult process, and yesterday was definitely a difficult day dealing with it all. But it is what it is, you know, we just have to keep going on and keep advocating, and
And I mean, that's what you have been doing for many, many years, even prior to the terrorist attacks. So do you feel like there has been any sort of movement or success in kind of raising these issues?
So I think it will depend on how the government will respond and how they respond to the Royal Commission. Obviously, they've been making some moves in terms of the gun law reforms, in terms of a review of the public service and the public service legislation bill, but we haven't seen anything significant, you know, happening to address our concerns. And we've put forward some solid recommendations of things that we'd like to see happen, like an independent ethics board for the national security system as a whole, and reforms to the way the public service should be working, and so on. So we can only hope that they take those up.
And in those recommendations, I mean, we have discussed before with you in terms of the failings and the continued failings of these organisations. Would you want to just sort of outline perhaps a few of the key findings in or at least the key things that you have raised in this huge submission, 127 pages.
Yeah, and then the recommendations as well. So, yeah, it certainly was a whole lot of work, and like the actual evidence sitting behind it in terms of emails and papers and so on is much more than that, like a lot more.
Wow.
But basically, what we're saying is that they should have had a national plan or strategy around the alt-right and white supremacists and any threats to our community. It should have been a national security priority. Of course, those priorities weren't even made public. I understand this year's priorities are public, but previous to that, they never have been made public. And, you know, if they had had those systems in place and if they had had a proper what we're calling preventive, violent extremists, so PVE, as opposed to a countering violent extremist policy in place. They had ample time from the time that we were first engaging with them, and certainly from March 2017, they could have done some solid work in that space and had a policy in place so that when we were starting to see some Facebook threats, threatening phone calls to some of our leaders, all happening in February 2019, that would have gone up and triggered something, and that they would have been more aware and would have had a system in place to let the community know, to have some security at mosques. All of those things could have happened. But they didn't do that work.
In terms of this, like you say, we have to wait until the kind of government response and the commission's sort of report, all of these things. Do you feel, though, that this conversation is no longer really in the national consciousness?
Well, I hope it continues to be, and that's why we continue to to speak out. That's why we have put our submission into the public sphere, and we will continue to advocate as hard as we can, and ask that other New Zealanders do the same, because it isn't just about our community. This was an attack on New Zealand and New Zealanders, and it could have been any community.
What is it that you want to people to take away in terms of putting the submission into the public realm? What is it that you hope people take away from this, and what action do you want New Zealanders to take?
So, first of all, we would like them to get a real understanding of what it was like in trying to advocate for our issues and trying to get some action to reduce Islamophobia, to reduce discrimination for Muslim women, which was our brief. But we also had said that the solutions we were putting forward would benefit a whole range of communities. And then to think about how we can improve this, how we can make sure that no one can do this again, and that our security services are doing the job that they're supposed to be doing, that our security system works fairly. And we would like for people to be raising this with their government representatives, and to be raising this issue in forums and in places wherever they can raise a voice.
In terms of the process of the inquiry, it's been going on for a very long time, and it is a huge issue to look into. But in terms of, do you know what the next steps are and that sort of thing?
Yeah. So in terms of the time they've taken, they were given the least amount of time of any inquiry ever. Like, the previous minimum amount of time is 2 years. And initially they were given 8 months, and they've sought 2 extensions. So it's still less than the 2 years. Well, the next stage of the process, they'll finish their report, and then they will deliver the report to the Governor-General. So the commissioners will do that. And then the Governor-General delivers the report to Cabinet, and then it becomes a decision of Cabinet as to what is published, how much, what is redacted, and when it is put into the public.
And in terms of you've put recommendations to them, you've sort of done the work of, and what is there sort of binding, what is the kind of opportunity for there to be binding recommendations made?
So the Royal Commission has no powers to bind the government at all, and that's a problem. Like, there isn't any ability to require anything. It is entirely up to the government, so then it is up to the public to require the government to do these things, and that's why we are going public. That's why we have made our submission public. We know that a lot of different organisations and communities have made submissions, so of course, the Royal Commission has to put all of those things together, as well as all the evidence that they got from talking to the various people that they did. But, that's the nature of the process. That they have no ability to bind government. Nobody does. And, we have absolutely nothing much we can do to hold anybody within government accountable because of the fact that you can't sue for losses, you can't sue for damages, you can't sue for emotional harm. There's no process through the courts, really, other than exemplary damages, which our organisation does not have the funding for lawyers to do that. And it would be a really difficult task to prove all those direct links between this action and that crime. Really, the public is the one that has the power in this situation.
That was Anjum Rahman. And the call to action there at the end, I think, is an important statement and something for us all to think about right now and ongoing in the future.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.